The message I've got today is a mixture of things that you will have, a number of you will have heard before. Some of you will have heard before. Some of you may have heard it several times before. But there are people here who haven't heard any of this before or much of this. And it's you that I'm interested in, actually. Not that I'm not interested in anybody else, but I'm really interested in sowing seed into soil that hasn't had the seed. Okay. I'm really interested in sowing truths into hearts that have never received these liberating truths. And so I appreciate those of you who have been liberated by these things. I love you. I praise God for you. But I'm really interested in the one who've never received these truths. Can you bear with that? You okay with that? And I want to talk about the fact that fundamentally, when it all boils down, God's purpose is to have a family of sons and daughters. People say things like this, oh, God could do it on his own. God doesn't want to do it on his own. One of the core values of our Heavenly Father is he's always desired family. He's always desired sons and daughters in his image. That was his purpose from the beginning. That's his purpose that he sustained. That's the purpose that he took further through Christ and in Christ and into a level of maturity. And then the final stage of that will be at the resurrection of the righteous, when all of his faithful children will, and those who have trusted and believed and stayed faithful to the Lord, will be resurrected to be with the Lord forever and be ruling and reigning with him at various levels of responsibility and reward. Because that's the core value of our Heavenly Father. He loves to work with you. He loves you to work with him. Now, there's some things that only he can do. We know that, right? Some of us have tried some things that only he can do and it didn't really work. But there are things that only he can do, but there are things that he empowers us to do because he has the sheer delight and seeing his children grow and mature and partner with him and enjoy the journey together. Not only that, but to actually enjoy the outcome that we will enter into together. God is actually eternal community in the sense that he's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us create man in our image. Most of you read Genesis. Yeah, that's that one. Thank you so much. God bless you. Yeah. That signaled the end of the message and we'll all go home. And it's I think that's a hoot. That's all right. And I just got to settle down again. Just the adrenaline, you know. I wasn't sure if it was somebody had run in with a gun or what the deal was going on, you know. Of course, in America, they're more prepared for that than we are. But anyway, and guarantee somebody in the congregation's got it concealed, you know. And got their concealed carry license. So God's value, one of God's great values is he's because he is love. I'm not talking about some humanistic idea of what love is, but because he is pure and absolute holy love, then love has to have things to love, people to love. Love has to have beings to love. Love doesn't exist alone. You know what I'm saying, don't you? Love doesn't exist alone. Love doesn't want to exist alone. Love always wants to share. Have you ever been somewhere, I'm talking to married people now, you ever been somewhere and you saw somebody, something awesome and wonderful, and you were on your own, you think, oh my goodness, I just wish my husband or my wife was here to share this. See, love wants to share. And the love of the Father loves to share the wonder and the awe and the majesty and the power and the glory and the eternal purpose with his redeemed children. And so we're not redeemed to be churchgoers. We're not redeemed to be legalistic and beat up on each other with with what we found in the Bible, having blood on our swords. We're not redeemed to be haters. We're not redeemed to be just living some boring life where one day, if we're faithful, we'll die and we'll go to heaven. No, it's much, much more than that. The Father's core value is to have a family of sons. Sons and daughters, but a family of sons. Sons and daughters who are sons in terms of covenant privilege, in terms of a double portion inheritance, in terms of that whole dynamic of being about the Father's business. He's got a family. It's what he's raising right now. It's what he's raising. That's why we always want to stay open and in step with the revelation and the things that he's releasing to the church, because we want to have an ongoing maturing journey. I don't want to stay where I am right now in terms of, I don't mean geographical locality, I mean my who I am and what I am in here in terms of my maturity level. I don't want to stay where I'm now. I want to continually grow, because there's more to understand, there's more to walk in, there's more to wonder about, there's more to see released through our life, because we're on a maturing journey. It doesn't mean that we're trying to earn our salvation. It means there's just more to understand, more to grow in, more to wonder at, more to wonder at. Boring Christianity is a complete oxymoron. It's a total contradiction. Because if we open our hearts to keep growing, and the wonder of God keeps impacting our lives whenever, then we can stay on a growth path, and there can be levels of excitement and wonder and thrill and risk and all these things at reasonably regular intervals that make life really exciting. How many people have ever thought it'd be great to live on a big yacht? Just be honest. Well, I have. We met this couple in a place called South Shore, where we went just for some days, just between the ministry situations. And the people in the north weren't ready to receive us until the Thursday or Friday, so we had to fill in some time. So we went south down to the coast. We were originally going to go to Galveston. Glad we didn't go there. That would have been a real disappointment, and even though I like the song. And Janet doesn't like the song. She thinks it's sad. You know, Galveston, you know, Glen Campbell classic, anybody? Yeah. But anyway, we went to this place called South Shore. We looked out over a big marina, which is one of my happy places. And anyway, we're in the pool there. We had a lovely pool. And this lady comes up, and Janet says, "Oh, you're New Zealanders." He said, "Yes, I'm married to a Kiwi. Come and meet him." You know, so we just turn around and go over to the side of the pool and get into this big conversation with him. Turns out he's a truckie, he's got a trucking company, but they've also just recently bought this big yacht. 54 feet long, Peter. 54 feet long. And I assume it's a sailing catamaran, just where I come from. And anyway, I said, "Oh, is it a sailing cat?" "Oh, no, he said, "it's a powered cat." And anyway, "come and have dinner with us tomorrow night on the catamaran." So we thought, okay, let's do that. So we go out for the day, do some things, and we come down tonight. Go 5 o'clock, we're down on the marina, get into this catamaran, and we're sitting there talking about life and different things and various things. And it dawned on me after a while, actually, man, this is really empty. This is actually really quite empty. And what are people living for? What's the purpose? Okay, you live on a catamaran and you can sail the Gulf of Mexico, which actually isn't that great. Give me Marlborough Sounds any day. And water's dirty for 100 miles out. I mean, who wants to hang out that? And it's warm, no refreshing in it whatsoever. And there's things that want to kill you. So I'm thinking, you know, really, this is all... it's actually pretty meaningless. And it just really struck me when I left that situation, just how meaningless life is without the eternal purpose, without Christ, without the eternal purpose of God in us, and without being vitally connected in the eternal purposes of love himself that's God in plan, God in store to redeem all of creation. What a phenomenal purpose we're engaged in. What a phenomenal thing to live for, to actually live for the redemption of all creation. And the enjoyment of God forever, and the enjoyment of his pure love and his goodness forever, living absolutely secure as a son or daughter of God. I mean, the things we're going to be up to in the resurrection is pretty up there. You know, we think there's some cool things now. I mean, DC have nothing. Marvel have nothing on the possibilities of the saints of God in the resurrection. You know, we're going to be coming in and out of realms doing on mission for the kingdom of God. We're going to be coming in and out of realms in resurrection glory, being just like Jesus, knowing who we are perfectly, knowing who he is perfectly, absolutely secure sons of God, doing involved in the most exciting things a human being could ever possibly imagine or beyond our imagination. You think this is pie in the sky? Not at all. Jesus is already doing it. Philip experienced it, Peter experienced it, Paul experienced it. Saints ever since then have experienced it in different dimensions at different times. And there's an acceleration right now of powerful, dynamic experiences in the Holy Ghost where people are being taken out of their lounge rooms, taken out of their bedrooms in the Spirit, taken into another nation, do something powerful with an angel in the Holy Ghost, see something radically change, and then they're back in their bedroom and they're wondering whether it was a dream or a vision. These are insights in the powers of the age to come. These are insights into the kind of things that the saints of God will be actively engaged in the resurrection. You think, oh my goodness, that sounds just too weird. Oh, I tell you what, it gets much more weird than that. You see, religion tries to limit our experience with God down as far as possible. What the spirit of religion, which has behind it the spirit of Jezebel, what that tries to do is to get you dependent on other people to be between you and God. And somehow to live a very substandard spiritual life that really is more about a beggarly mentality and self-effort and self-flagellation, self-reject. It's all about control to keep you in a minimized state rather than the glory of the children of God. You see, true biblical Christianity is about lifting us up out of all of that and taking us into realms filled by the Holy Ghost where on a regular basis we are just being Jesus to people. Where the Holy Spirit does things with us because of the will of the Father that are just mind-blowing. And so boring Christianity doesn't have a place in the kingdom of God. It's a contradiction. And so you think, well, hang on, I haven't had those experiences. Well, don't be worried about that. Just keep growing in the Lord. Just keep growing in intimacy with the Lord. Keep growing in heart openness with him. He might do something with you in any moment that completely blows your mind. Just don't limit him. Just don't be limited to Sundayized religion. The earth isn't groaning for people who just turn up at church on a Sunday, maybe once every second Sunday, maybe once a month. The world threw that old prophet out centuries ago. The thing got swallowed by a big fish. The guy repented, ended up on the banks of the shore of the near, and went to Damascus and preached what he was meant to preach. The whole city got converted. The world has no use for powerless religiosity. The world will throw it overboard because there's no use in it. There's no life in it. It's all dead rules and ceremony. But what creation is groaning for, what the whole creation is groaning for in anticipation, is the manifestation of the sons of God. You see, God started, in terms of the human course of this, God started with a son called Adam. God's purpose was to have all of this earth environment under the rule, under the management of his son and his wife, and Eve, she was named after the fruit was eaten naturally. The man and his wife to shadow forth the image of God, to have the earth under godly management. People say, well, why is the world the way it is today? Is God not all powerful? No, the world has been under twisted, defiled management. Because God gave earth into man's management and he hasn't taken it back. If you get sick, twisted, deformed, defiled managers, you'll have a sick, twisted, deformed company, and it'll have sick, twisted services. But the purpose of redemption is to bring sons and daughters into glory so they manifest the character and presence of God, and ultimately there will be the impact on all creation. But wherever those people are, they can bring kingdom influence to bring their world and their dominion into God, into godly principle, into kingdom principle. So at least in their dominion and their domain, there's the difference between light and darkness. Janet and I were in Kampala quite a number of years ago with some other New Life guys, and we did a conference over on the western side of Lake Victoria with a group of churches that were connected to New Life there. They still are. And so we travel into this place, and the craziest drivers in the world, honestly. And we were taken in a van through these little streets of Kampala, and literally if you put your hand out the window, you could just about touch the house on each side, the houses on each side. Narrow, bumpy, off-road type streets, people trying to get along around the van, and it just felt dark, it felt dysfunctional, it felt messy, there was plastic everywhere, it was just horrible. And then we come to these gates, just a compound with some buildings in it, and this gate. We came to the gate was lifted, we entered in, and it felt like you were going from one realm to another. We went through those gates into a Christian school, which was also an orphanage, and the couple that were leading the school were very good people, very kingdom, Holy Ghost open people, and they loved the children. They would gather up orphans and they would house them. And they took us on a tour through the school and through the dormitories that the children stayed in, and they had beautifully made beds. The beds had beautiful sheets and blankets on them. Lovely white linen, clean pillows. The kids were clothed in lovely clean clothing, and it was like absolute darkness and light. Now, could they spread that dominion over that whole neighborhood? Well, not really, because a whole lot of people weren't yielded to Christ at all. But in that compound, it was like a realm of the kingdom of God within that greater suburb. And this is what I'm talking about. See, in this situation, those children were exposed. They were exposed to something beyond they would ever have dreamed they would ever be. They'd never dreamed about sleeping in a nice, clean bed with warm blankets. They would never dream of having nice, clean clothes and being able to wash every day and keep clean and have healthy food. They would never have dreamed of being able to have an education where they could lift up out of that poverty and out of that despair and actually be able to dream about a future. They'd never dream of the fact that they could actually hear the gospel and actually become connected with Creator God who loved them eternally and gave them a sense of eternal purpose and eternal future. And these children's lives get radically transformed in this environment where there's kingdom dominion. There's kingdom principle, where there's love, where there's submission to the Holy Ghost, where there's prayer, where there's worship, where there's respect of human life, where there's value of the vulnerable and respect of the elderly. Whereas outside of that, it was every man for himself. It was every woman for herself. It was just dark. I'm just building a picture for you. You see, where you are, because of the kingdom of God in you, because of being a son of God, a daughter of God, where you are, kingdom influence can permeate through you. Light can permeate out of you. Where you are, light can be. But there's coming a day when it's going to be far more than just where you are. It's going to be where Jesus is. And Jesus is going to be back on the planet in physical form. And every nation will make representation to Jerusalem, etc., etc., etc. And so, but all of the hope of creation is not Greenpeace. It's not climate change policies. It's actually none of that. The hope of all creation is actually the manifest and matured sons of God. You can put your solar panels on, you can drive your electric car if you want, do whatever. But at the end of the day, the biggest attention we should be paying is maturing as children of God. That is our prime focus, is to be maturing as children of God, as seekers of the kingdom of God first, and these other things will be added to us. Outside of Christ, nirvana will not be created on earth. Some of you will know what that is. Paradise will not be created on earth outside of Christ. Amen. But there are certain groups have the idea that if they can introduce certain polities, eradicate certain things, they will create a nirvana on earth. They'll create a paradise on earth. I'm telling you, people, it's an empty dream. The real paradise will be in the kingdom of God, in the fullness of the kingdom of God. So some of us are a lot closer to being promoted than others. You know what I mean? Some of us might have a year, 2, 3, 10, 15 years. Some of us, God willing, might have 40 years, whatever, depending on when Jesus returns. But here's the deal. All of us really don't have a long lifespan in reality. My dad, at the 80-something, he would sometimes say to me, Wes, now I know what the scripture means, that, you know, our life is like grass. It rises up and then it withers. And he said, at 80-something, he said, it seems to have gone so far. And I say, at 64, it seems to have gone pretty quick. However many years God has for me, yes, in terms of in this body, I don't know. But here's the deal. My main focus has to be growth and maturity as a son of God. And that's what our focus needs to be, growth and maturity as children of God. 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 Seeking first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to us. Growth and maturity as sons of God. Growth and maturity as children of God. Take difficulty as an opportunity to grow. Take challenge, take uncertainty and risk as an opportunity to grow. Because the more we grow, the more we'll be able to rule and reign with them with wisdom and maturity. And I'm not wishing difficulty and challenge on anybody. I don't mean that at all. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15:45, New King James Version. Thank you for bringing that up when you're able. See, if we have the big picture in view, we get a context for the present. First Corinthians 15:45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. And afterwards, the spiritual. Verse 47, the first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Wow. 48. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. Talking about the natural man. And as is the heavenly man, Jesus, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of the dust, poke your neighbor, say you came from dust. Some of us get a lot of dust on us quite easily. As we have borne the image of the man of the dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. We shall bear the image of the heavenly man. We shall bear the image. You see, there are two races on the earth. There's those who are in Adam and those who are in Christ. That's the only two races that are on earth. There's those who are in Adam. The born of the natural realm, there has been no spiritual birth. They have not been born again yet. But then there's another Adam. There's another Adam. I say there's another Adam. And through the new birth, we are transferred into another race. We become part of another race called the race of Christ, or the family of God, or the saints of God, or these other names. And so, just as we've borne the image of the natural man, but now we've been born again by the Spirit, and we're now part of the family of God, internally we have the image of Christ within us because He's one Spirit with us. But attitudinally, and how we believe and how we think and the judgments we've made, the vows we've made, all those sort of things that may have formed in our hearts and life, all that needs to be transformed and renewed so that what's in the mind and the heart lines up with what's in the Spirit, so what's in the Spirit is able to fully manifest. Jesus to Nicodemus, in that great interview as recorded in John chapter 3, which leads up to Jesus' famous statement about, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life," so on and so forth. But what led up to that was his discussion with Nicodemus, who was trying to figure out how and why and what was the future and what was the real things of the kingdom. There was these beautiful questions, no doubt more than were probably recorded. Jesus said, "I say to you, unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you will not enter the kingdom of God." Nicodemus is confused because they had some ideas of what it was to be born again, but it was different. How can I enter my mother's womb again and be born now that I'm this age, let alone this size? If you, being a teacher of Israel, don't understand these things. We speak of heavenly things, and you're not understanding. Chambers paraphrase. And so Jesus understood that to enter into His family, His race, was through the spiritual birth, called the new birth, being born again by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. The Word of God, because the Word reveals the will of God and reveals the work of Christ and the person of God, so we can have faith. And faith connects with God, and faith releases the power of the Holy Spirit to cause the regeneration to take place. That's why the preaching of the Word is so important. So, the first mad Adam was a life-giving, well, living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. And we are now in Him. And in that life. And that life is in us if you're in Christ. All creation is waiting for our maturity. Some say it'll be before the resurrection. Some say it'll be because of the resurrection. I tend to be of the latter. But I'm also seeing the revelation of things whereby maturity is happening more and more among people, God lovers, and more and more of his character and power is manifesting through their lives. I'll tell you something. I believe we're coming into a massive move of deliverance. I'm convinced of it. The number of ministries around the place that have been so concerned about the lack of deliverance and the lack of understanding in deliverance and the lack of biblical understanding has really troubled us. And that's why us, Mike Connell, Brent Douglas, various others have been, these are just New Zealand ones, there's others overseas, have been so concerned about the state of church and its understanding of deliverance. Because Jesus said, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. And yet there's great swathes of the church who know nothing at all, absolutely nothing at all about deliverance. And yet they talk about the kingdom. If you've got an attitude that somehow deliverance is a little bit of a fringe thing, then I want to tell you, my friends, you're going to need to shift position sooner or later, because deliverance is part of the core flow of the kingdom of God. It's part of the core flow of the gospel. And it's my desire and it's my aim to see as many people equipped and genuine understanding and ability to move in at least some dimension of deliverance, because when you're moving in deliverance, the kingdom of God is coming into that person's life in a way that they have not previously received. There have been too many ministries, too many churches that have collapsed because of resident demonic spirits in the lives of the leaders and the lives of the people that have caused such trouble and contention that as a result of that, the church has blown up or fallen over, or the leaders have fallen, all because they believed that they didn't need deliverance, that there wasn't such thing as a Christian being able to have a demon. They thought they just had to control it themselves, but they couldn't control it themselves. They got out of control, got into sin, got into immorality, whatever it was, and caused the destruction of too many people. So there is a film just being released. I want to watch it. I don't know how you get access to it. You may have to pay for it. I'm sure it's all. It's called Out in Jesus' Name. Great title for a film. A bunch of guys have got together, maybe a few ladies in amongst it, and they produced this film with real life deliverance and large gatherings and small gatherings, and just showing the power of God impacting people and setting them free. I'm so looking forward to seeing it. They're showing it in theaters in the States. There's been a number of theaters now where just deliverance has broken out in the theaters, and people have been getting delivered in the theaters because they've seen the testimony of the power of God setting people free. So many people are drug addicted. So many people are sexually abused. So many people have become twisted in their inner identity. So demonized through the sin that's been rampant in the world and the repaganization of society. I want to tell you, my friends, if there was ever a time to grow in the understanding of the power of God to see people set free, it's now. So I will not apologize ever again for deliverance happening publicly, or talking about, or speaking about, or preaching on deliverance, or demonstrating deliverance. I will not apologize. If you think I'm over the top with it, don't worry about it. There'll be somebody else you'll be able to feel comfortable with. But we're going after the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is more than deliverance. The kingdom of God is more than deliverance. Believe me, we know that. But it very much includes it. Because Jesus came to undo the works of darkness and to set the captives free. I was absolutely blessed by the number of leaders who he ministered to came into profound freedom. And it was such an honor. I'm convinced that the leadership dimension around them will so radically change that the church will experience greater health and growth as a result of it. It's just wonderful. It's such a privilege to see God's people getting set free of things that have oppressed them and robbed their joy, things they just thought they had to labor with, and maybe they even thought it was their cross to bear. Now they're liberated and free and more in love with Jesus than ever. Isn't that awesome? I just want to see it multiply more and more and more. And man, I'm just way behind in my message, so I'm going to wind it up. You see, we're not about restoring Adam. Now, I'm going to explain that. The only way out of the line of Adam is death. Here's where identifying with Jesus' crucifixion is so important. Because when we, and it's visibly displayed when we get baptized, very visibly displayed. When we come to Christ and we genuinely receive Jesus our Savior, we acknowledge that He's the Son of God, that He's the one who died for our sin, we repent of our sin, we receive that forgiveness, we're reconciled to the Father, we become children of God, young and immature, because we start off as young and immature children, so it is, but then we grow into mature children. And so, right at that moment, there's been an identification take place in the Spirit, and it's demonstrated in baptism where we've died to the image and the line that we were in Adam. In baptism, it's demonstrated by the fact that we confess Christ, then we're baptized into His name, and we go under the water. And in terms of identification and in terms of who we're now connected to, we are dying to that old line of Adam, that first Adamic race. We're dying to that line, that inheritance line, that judgment line, that curse line. And we're going down on that water. When we come up out of that water, we're identifying with the resurrected Jesus, the first of a new creation. We're identifying with Him, and we are co-joined with Him in His death. We are co-joined with Him in His resurrection, and we are co-joined with Him in His ascension, and we're co-joined with Him in His seating in heaven. That's why we're seated in heavenly places. We're co-joined with Him in His inheritance, and we're co-joined with Him in His mission. So Christ is the first of a whole new creation. And we come into Christ, we identify with Him. We're no longer of the Adamic race. We are now in the Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua. We're now in the last Adam race. So as far as heaven's concerned, if you're in Christ and born again and in Him, you are legally a new creation. The old has passed away. All things have become new. Your legal status in heaven is a child of God. You're no longer under the judgments and the wrath that is due to those who are in the line of Adam only. That judgment has already taken place because it was all measured out on Jesus, our representative in death and sin and judgment. Now what's measured out to us is the blessing of God, the favor of God, the love of God, the power of covenant, the power of inheritance. It's, do we still get chastised and corrected? Of course we do, because we're sons. And if you don't correct a son when he's going astray, then the King James word starts with B. And so this new creation being is supernatural. To use that word. And it's a whole new line. I don't know whether this has fully sunk into my spirit yet. I don't know how much further it's got to permeate my being, my consciousness, my soul, my thinking, all of my thinking. I remember many, many years ago, before we came back up to Christchurch, I said to a guy, a significant guy in my life, I said, Colin, I do not believe we fully understand yet what it really means to be born again. And he looked at me, Colin Wood, and he looked at me and said, Wiz, I agree with you. I had the sense inside of me, yet there was yet to be revelation released by the Holy Spirit that would give us greater understanding of the marvel it is to be a new creation. Hello, Angela. Didn't see you there. To be a new creation. You're totally welcome. To be a new creation. So we're not fixing up Adam. We're not trying to fix up the old identity. We're not trying to fix up that old thing. We are growing in the knowledge of the new. We are growing into the revelation of the new. We're not trying to fix up the old. A guy in one of the churches spoke to me and said, oh, Pastor Wes, I've been writing a book. Could I have your notes? I really like your notes. Could I have your notes? And I said, oh, well, give me your email address. He said, I'm writing a book. He said, on how to be restored back to Adam. And I'm thinking, okay. I don't know how to tell you this, I thought. But, oh, that's cool. And I thought, missing the point. We're not restored back to Adam. People, oh, we're restored back to how it was in the garden. No, it's better than that. Because Adam had dominion on the earth. In Christ, we have dominion in the realm of glory and in the earth. And in the fullness of our inheritance, we'll have dominion with Christ, under his lordship, of course, in the realm of the spirit and in the realms of the earth and creation. Better than Eden. It's better than Eden. So, better than being restored back to Adam. Or Adam being restored. I want anything Adamic in me to be dead, killed, finished, repented of, thinking changed, revelation of being in Christ and being the new creation formed in me as much as possible. That's what I want. I want to embrace and explore the new. I don't want to be trying to be restored back to Adam. I want to be restored, fully restored and rebuilt and refashioned in Christ, the new creation. Because all of creation is groaning in earnest expectation to be released from its decay and from its futility that it was subjected to by him in hope. But the hope is the final revealing of the sons of God, that all of creation would come in to the liberty of the children of God. Wow. Talk about a high purpose. Talk about something to live for. Even better than trying to chase the French out of the Pacific many years ago. As worthy as that was. Blowing up islands with nuclear weapons. Not in our backyard, thank you. But it's even better than that. You hear what I'm saying? Some of you will remember that. We don't want to restore the old creation. We want to be fully built in the new. Fully flowing, fully revealed in the new, fully, woo, Holy Ghost, cook it up in us. Yeah. We're not trying to revive that which is dead. We're embracing and growing and thriving in that which is new. Come on. Come on, let's not go back to beggarly religion. Let's not go back to self-hatred and self-rejection. That's what I was going to be speaking about, but anyway, we got way off track on that. Not going back to that old thing. Not going back to that old thing. The world doesn't understand us. That's all right. They didn't understand Jesus. To the Romans, it was crazy. It was just, to the Greeks, it was foolishness that this Son of God would be crucified on a cross. That was just ridiculous to their thinking. But to us, it's wisdom, the wisdom of God. And so to be a new creation is just a phenomenal thing. So over the next number of weeks, when I get opportunity, I'm going to be sharing about how to get rid of the roadblocks to our maturity. And it's going to be a revamp of some material we've already ministered and various things. But I'm convinced of this, that early in our life, usually, our enemy tries to set up within us judgments and inner vows and pain and concepts that end up becoming roadblocks in the years ahead. And I want us all to have the keys and the understandings to how to recognize and shift those roadblocks out of our lives, be delivered of whatever has gotten a hold of us, if it was a demonic thing as well, and then be freer to proceed in our maturing journey in Christ and to reach the potential that is just so phenomenal. So this has gone very differently to what I imagined, so I'm rejigging my thinking as I'm speaking. So I want to give you one example of how things can become a roadblock to people, and I don't think it's an example I've used before. I wanted to use new examples because you feel like you can be I can't remember what it is. Where you just feel like you're repeating yourself all the time. I ministered to this young man some time ago. Not that long ago, but it was a while ago. This man, probably one of the more passionate lovers of Jesus and followers of Christ I've known. Not part of the church, but part of my world. And he wanted to see me over a couple of times and just talk about life, talk about some things he felt were just real blockages in his life. And this dear young man talked about how when he was 12, his father died. And he hadn't realized that there was something still alive deep, deep in his life. Where he actually had a hatred of God. This young man at the age of 12, his father had died, and this young man just felt so wounded, so hurt, and came to the conclusion that God didn't love him enough to heal his dad. And out of that, he formed, just a little period of time, he just felt this hatred toward God. And then over time, he grew and matured, and he psychologically reasoned it through. And actually, it has had a very dynamic walk with the Lord. Really interesting. You'd never have known that this was deep down in this young man's heart. But the repercussions of that in him was that he was very competitive, always had to be the best at something. There were these things inside him that drove him, and there was a deep insecurity in his spirit, in his heart. And as a result of that, it just created these issues for him, created certain fears, certain things. And so we were talking and we prayed and I just asked a question about how did he feel about God when that happened? And he said, I hated him. And I said, wow. He said, have you ever renounced that? Have you ever cleared that up with the Lord? He said, now that we talk about it, no, I haven't. So when the time was up and we couldn't actually proceed any further, he had some homework to go away with. He came back, and the next time we got together, I only asked him a question, and he went into a massive deliverance. I didn't pray for him. I didn't lay hands on him. I just watched it. Because that deep thing had been identified, he had taken it to the Lord, and then in that moment where I just asked a question about that judgment against God, suddenly he went into a massive deliverance, and it was really intense. So he burst a blood vessel in his eye. It was just so intense for him, and he got wonderfully delivered. The thing is, you see, this young man never knew it was there. Then I'm talking about roadblocks. This young guy had that experience. It was very traumatic for him. He had these emotions toward God, these things that he felt God was to blame for. And then over time, he processed it, and came to a psychological resolution, but not a judgment resolution. So what I'm going to ask you to do over this next period of time, and some of you will take me up on this, some of you won't, some of you won't think it's relevant to you, but I'm going to ask you to pray into and ask the Father, ask the Lord to reveal to you if there are any judgments deep down in your heart that are still producing negative fruit in your life. And I'm going to ask you to ask the Holy Spirit to give you key memories of where that was formed, and then think about what you thought, what you said about God, what you said about yourself. Because I'm convinced of this, that many of us have had things in our foundational life and experience that we thought were all resolved, or we thought didn't matter, or we thought we'd moved on, or we thought we'd reasoned it out. You see, reasoning something out psychologically is not the same as dealing with the judgment legally. There's legalities in the spirit, because Satan's a legalist, that we ended up in bondage to and we didn't even know it. This young man, it has changed his life. Just changed his life. And it's... The more life's gone on and the more ministry experiences have gone on, the more I've seen God move in people's lives, the more I've come to realize that I would say the bulk of people that come to Christ will probably have foundational judgments in their lives that sooner or later will need to be unpacked, because that stuff is to do with the old Adam. That stuff is to do with the old creation. But the enemy is still trying to work away through that doorway, bring blockage, bring bondage, and they're finding it hard to move forward in certain areas of their life. So I'm looking forward to a series, really, of just helping people get equipped with ways of being able to help themselves and other people get free. Could we all stand? Father, right now, I thank you that even while we've been speaking, even in this last short testimony, in this last few minutes, that there's maybe somebody's been stirred, maybe something's been stirred, and something's come to mind, something's come to life, or you've seen it for the first time. You've seen a connection. Now, I haven't taught into this long enough to really give you a good handle, but there may just have been some people or one person where this has been triggered. And you know right now there's actually a significant root judgment in your life that feels right now you're ready to deal with. But I just want to say this in closing. Don't be trying to go back and fix up the old man. Focus on the new and bring all that still remnants of the old to the Lord, who's the Lord of the new, so that those old things can be cleared out of the way one by one, and the fullness of the and the beauty of the new creation come into full flower and full manifestation in our lives. So today, Lord, I just thank you for everybody online. I thank you for people in this room. Lord, we thank you. We rejoice in the knowledge of being new creations. Your love for us, your power toward us, your spirit in us. Lord, the eternal plan that you have for us. And I just thank you that this would be more realized and more sealed in every person's heart. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you've never welcomed him into your life and asked him to come and be your Lord and Savior, now would be an awesome time to do that. Right in this atmosphere right now. It's time to be born again. You've been born by your natural mother, born in that old line of Adam, but now it's time to come into the line of the Son of God, the family of God. If that's you, come on up. You'll know. Come on up. I'm not gonna pretend. Come on up. We want to pray with you. If you've identified a significant judgment in your heart, even in that short time I was speaking about it, come on up now. We're going to deal with it. We're going to do some business. We're going to lead you in some prayer, breaking your agreement with that and getting set free. If that's you, come on up now. 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 God bless you, Simon.